19 through 24. Please hear these words. Don't store up treasures here on earth where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where they will never become moth-eaten or rusty and where they will be safe from thieves. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. Your eye is a lamp for your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul. But an evil eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness. If the light you think you have is really darkness, how deep that darkness will be. These are the words of the Lord to the people of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, Miss Jimmy will be leading us. Come on up.
And y'all who know me know that. Several weeks ago, can y'all hear me? I forgot to turn my thing on. Now. Okay. Several weeks ago, Megan came up to me after church one Sunday, and she said, Jimmy, will you do me a favor? And I said, sure, if I can. She says, well, I'm going to Israel, and I won't be in church on the first Sunday of February. Will you say a few words for me? And I said, sure. What would you like me to talk about? And she said, giving. I said, giving? What would you like for me to say about giving? And she says, Jimmy, tell about your experiences with giving. Well, I'm going to be frank with you right now. God and I didn't get that message of tithing. I did not hear her say tithing. I said giving. Giving to me is more than tithing. I'm going to let Randy handle the tithing part. Well, anyway, on the way home that Sunday, I was in the car going home, and I said, God, what am I going to talk about with giving? And automatically said, bam, 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 talk about that. And I said, I can do that. So I go home, and I had a nice day. But Monday morning came, and I said, no. I cannot get up there and do that. I can't. I don't want to. I'm not going to. I will call Megan. There are plenty of lay leaders in our church who can do it. Problem solved. Load lifted off of my shoulders. And I went outside. It was a beautiful day that Monday, and it was like 60 degrees, so I grabbed my knee pads and my clippers, and I go out, and I'm clipping dead plants, the leaves off of them and all, and talking to God. And I was telling him how grateful I was for this sunshine and warm weather in the middle of January that I could go out and work, and how I loved trimming and all, and the joy I was receiving, and thanking him for my help, that I'm able to go out and do this at this stage of my life. And all of a sudden, I kid y'all not, I heard this loud voice, and it said one word to me, Jonah. I picked up my knee pad, and I go running in the house, and I sat down in the chair, and I said, dear God, I do not want to land up in the belly of a fish, but I can't do this. Y'all laugh, but it wasn't funny to me at that time. And he said, yes, you can. I've given you the words to say. Now go do it. So here I am doing it. But like I said, God did not get the message, or at least I don't think you did, because I didn't get the message about tithing. And I'll have to say, I believe in tithing, and I do tithing, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning, okay? I'm starting with Genesis 1st chapter, verse 1. And the verse says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Randy brought me some water. First verse says, God created the heavens and the earth. And I'm not going to go through the whole chapter, because all of us realize after he did that, he created the mountains and the oceans, the fish, the animals, the birds, and he created man. And that's chapter 1. Now I'm going to go to chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden, to work it and take care of it. See, our God is an awesome God. He's a smart God. And God knows that life has to have balance. So God gave life to Adam. And Adam gave service back to God. The balance of our life, of anybody's life, is giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. And if you don't have that balance, you're a very unhappy person. Because take someone who gives all the time, always giving. And we've known these people. But I don't think they have a very happy or satisfying life. And on the other side of the thing, think of people, and we know them, that's always receiving, receiving, taking, receiving. They are out of balance with life too. So the balance of life, as far as I'm concerned, is giving, receiving, giving, and receiving back. Now let me give you an example of that. A mother gives birth to a child, or adopts. We have adopted parents in here. Brings that baby into her life. And she gives it all the care that she can. And every mother here will agree with me. That baby only has to look at you and give you that big smile. And it's worth it all. Am I not right? You give to that child gives back to you. There's the balance of circle again. And I truly believe in my heart, in the center of that balance is love. Because it wouldn't work without love. God in his creation has always put love into everything. Now, tell you one more thing. Or several more things I have for you. Anyway, working in the flower shop, I would have customers come into me all the time telling me, I can't grow plants. I can have it a week and it'll be dead. I have a brown thumb, not a green thumb. And I always wondered, what did thumbs have to do with growing plants? But I would look at them and I'd say, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And I'll explain to you why you're wrong. Okay, you got the plant. You give to that plant the right water, the right fertilizer, and the right care it needs. What's that plant going to do? It's going to receive all of that from you. Then what does the plant do? With all that care, that plant starts to grow. The foliage turns green and it starts to bloom, which is given back to you. So you have given to that plant, and that plant gives back to you. And if you're doing all of that giving and receiving, there's love in it. Because anybody here tell me, when you have given a plant so much care, and you watch it grow and bloom and flourish, it gives so much to you. So that's a good example to remember with the balance of giving and receiving. Now, and most of you know that I worked for Piggly Wiggly for many years as a floral manager. And at this time, I was at Wando Crossing in Mount Pleasant, and I had been there probably 6, 7 years, something like that. Loved it. Had a good clientele. Had good employees. Everything was going great. And here walks in the supervisor, We know, a lot of us know what a supervisor is. And he said, I'd like for you to go to my North Charleston store. And I looked at him and I said, thank you, but no thank you. I'm going to stay right here. Well, that was the first time. Two more times he came to me in a matter of months, not one after another, but in a matter of months, two more times he came to me and asked me to go to North Charleston. Well, if y'all, this is four times now I've been asked to go to North Charleston. And y'all know who work for companies, they don't ask you. They say, go, and you go. But they asked me. Well, that fourth time that he was coming, manager had told me, supervisor's coming and wants to talk to you. And I thought, oh, God, I am not going to North Charleston. I don't know why they keep bugging me about this. And I was so busy that day, I didn't have time to talk with the supervisor. But when the supervisor comes, you make time for him, right? So they called me and said, supervisor's waiting on you in the break room. And I start down the hall, and for the first time in all of this scenario, I say, God, help me. Help me to say and do whatever you want me to. And I walk into that break room and sit down and look at Steve Harkins, and I said, I'll go to North Charleston if you want me to. He looked at me stunned. I looked at him stunned, and I was thinking, oh, my gosh, what did I say? And, I mean, honestly. And he said, I said, when do I have to, oh, well, he said first, oh, good, I'm so glad. And I said, when do I have to go? And he said, Monday. And I said, Monday? This was Friday, by the way, Friday the 13th. And I said, I can't go Monday. I have to inventory my shop before I leave it. And he said, we're not worried about your inventory. Be there on Monday. Well, when I got off from work that night, in the cold rain, doom, I drove to the shop in North Charleston. And when I walk in that shop, Peggy can identify with this, yellow leaves were everywhere. And the shop was a mess. And I said, what have I done? So what I did, I went home. And I had the biggest pity party by myself that you've ever heard. And I kept saying, why did I do that? I do not want to go to North Charleston. There's nothing in North Charleston I want to do. I have worked so hard to get this shop the way I want it, and now they want me to go and do it all over again. And to be totally honest, I was really aggravated at God because I had told him to do it. But when I told him, I thought he was going to give me strength to go in there and not go again. But that's not what happened. I went to North Charleston store. But 10 days later, Jean Gore walked in that flower shop and ordered flowers. And in case y'all don't know who Jean Gore was, I married Jean Gore. I would have never, ever met him in Mount Pleasant. So here comes that giving and receiving again. I gave God permission to do what he wanted to with me. I received back by doing that the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me in my whole life with that. And I learned that lesson. Instead of trying to make the decisions yourself, you give it to God. You receive back from God. And you send praises to God, and he sends back to you. That's the giving and the receiving. But now I got something else I want to tell y'all. I was watching TV one morning, ironing, and Joyce Myers came on TV. And I really wasn't paying attention. My mind was wandering. But I heard a word she said that caught my attention. She said, the devil, something. And I stopped and was listening to her. And she, Joyce Myers, was saying, that devil sits right there on my shoulder all the time talking into my ear, saying, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? And I said, oh my gosh, he does that to me. I don't know if it does it to y'all. I can have a big problem, a little problem. I can give it to God. But that devil comes right back on that shoulder, right in my ear. What you going to do? What you going to do? And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm, what you going to do? What you going to do? Over and over and over again. Till he gets me so frustrated. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he doesn't stop it. What you going to do? What you going to do? And then one day I realize I'm talking to the devil. I'm actually hearing on a conversation to the devil. And then it came into my mind, remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was heading for the cross, and there came the devil talking to Jesus. And at first Jesus gave him a lot of Bible verses to back up for what he was going to do. But then he did a magic thing. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And I was thinking, if Jesus talked to the devil, then I have control. So then the devil started his little thing. What you going to do? What you going to do? Know what I'm going to do. Get away from me, devil. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not kidding, y'all. Believe you. It works. Yes, he comes back. But I got the power now. I got the power. And I do. Get thee behind me, Satan. And when you do that, you feel the power. You feel the relief. Y'all may cart me out here today for saying that, but it's true. I believe as much in that little devil as I do in anything else. But I've got the power. Get away from me, devil. Satan with the thing. Okay, all of this can be fun and games and that. But I want to leave you with this Bible verse. It's from Ecclesiastes. Let me take a drink of water so I can even say this word. From the book of Ecclesiastes, which was written by King Solomon, who they called the wisest man of all. And this is the verse. It's Ecclesiastes 5:18, which says, much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Did you hear what I said? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. This is the wisest man in all creation says this. But he follows through with another sentence. Therefore, stand in awe of God. And that is my message to y'all this morning. Stand in awe of God. There's no one, no matter how young, that hasn't experienced a miracle from God. Stand in awe of our mighty God. I say that to you over and over. Stand in awe of our God. Stand in awe of our God. That is what we do, even to y'all. Stand in awe of our mighty God. That is my message to y'all this morning. And I thank you for allowing me to come up here and share this. Amen and amen.
Y'all, when Megan asked me to speak, she said, I asked Jimmy to speak, but Jimmy said, you know, I'm going to be really short. So Megan asked me if I would just be the fill-in, and because Jimmy was going to be short. Jimmy, you're not short. But don't worry, y'all. I've just got some brief words. We won't be long. Seriously, though, when Megan asked me if I would follow Jimmy, first of all, it was a huge honor because I've grown up with Jimmy here in the church, and she's like a second mother to me. So it's a blessing. But the second thought that came to my mind was that I knew immediately what I was going to say. And the reason I knew immediately what I was going to say is because Jimmy had told me a story, a true story, some years ago. And the story had such an impact on me that I immediately wrote it down. And I wrote it down on the cover of my bulletin. This bulletin is from September 17th, 2017. So I had scribbled that all down because I said, I've got to remember that story. It's just something I want to share someday. So this is the story I'm going to tell you, and it's a true story that Jimmy shared with me. And the story took place right here at Cokesbury many years ago. At the time, Jimmy was in charge of training and managing the acolytes here at Cokesbury. So acolytes were boys and girls, probably 10 to 12 years old, whose job was to assist with certain aspects of the service. It was actually during that time, this is how long ago it was, that Jimmy's son Joey was an acolyte, if that tells you how long ago it was, right? I'd kind of make fun of Joey's age, but I'm afraid I'm right there with him. But that's how long ago it was. So Jimmy told me about a little boy whose name was Johnny that began coming to Cokesbury. Johnny walked to church by himself each Sunday. His clothes were disheveled. His face was a little dirty. His hands were dirty. And these things kind of gave the impression that Johnny's home life probably was something less than perfect. Johnny wanted to be an acolyte alongside of Joey and the other boys and girls. See, acolytes were to carry themselves as servants of God. They wore a white robe, and they were to look and act presentable. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly exhibiting the word of truth." Present yourself approved to God, a worker. Jimmy understood this, and she did her best to teach these young acolytes to present themselves in such a way. Jimmy would give little Johnny a wet cloth to clean his hands and his face before he put on his robe. And from that time on, Jimmy also gave the other acolytes a wet cloth to clean their hands and face. You see, Jimmy didn't want Johnny to feel less than. She wanted him to know that he was just as valued as the other children. So, going back a little bit in this time, and I'm going to test some of your memory. This was back when we were in the other building that we affectionately called the Old Sanctuary, right? If you remember worshiping the Old Sanctuary, raise your hand. Yeah, most of you, absolutely. Was anybody here acolyte? I see a few hands. So you remember what it was like to be in the Old Sanctuary. Well, at that time, when the offering was collected, the offering plates were taken, and then instead of being placed up on the altar like we do today, actually the guys that were counting the monies would take those monies and carry them out the side door at the front of the sanctuary. Not much different than these side doors you see here. They would actually take those monies and carry them out. So one Sunday, as Johnny was the acolyte, he leaned over to Jimmy as he watched the guys carrying the money out the side door and said, "Can I go with those men when they take the money?" And Jimmy says, "No, you can't go with those men. You have to put out the candles at the end of the service." Well, Johnny persisted. He said, but I really want to go." And Jimmy says, "Why? Why would you want to follow those men with the money?" And Johnny responded, "Because the preacher says that the offering is taken to God so that he can do work with it. And I really want to meet God. I want to meet God. So Jimmy didn't share this story with me because she was lifting herself. As a matter of fact, to the contrary. She said that she often wonders, what happened to little Jimmy? What happened to little Johnny? Excuse me. But I have a feeling that what Jimmy gave Johnny was a little stepping stone so that he could become a faithful man of God. That was just one way that she did that, by giving to him that sense of value, that he was like the rest. I think there are many ways we can interpret God's intent on giving through this story. As Jimmy said, we were asked somewhat to talk on tithing, but tithing is giving. Giving is tithing, right? So I'll let you decide what you take away from this. Maybe it's through giving of our tithes and offering that we can see God's character and learn from him the blessings that come through obedience and being faithful with what he's already, what's already his. Maybe it's by showing love and respect to those that the world sees as less loved and less respected, as Jimmy did with Johnny, that we're giving in the same way that God gives, with his heart. I'll leave that to you to decide. But I do ask you two things. What is it that you heard here today? What is it that I heard being you? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? And what are you going to do about it? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for who you are, the God that gives and gives and gives. May we, who, as your word says, are made in your image, mirror your character so that all that we come in contact with may see you. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives with us today, may you speak to us, and may we hear, and then may we act. In the name of Jesus, amen.